الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. We commenced tonight's recitation with Surah Al-Anbiya. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that there are four surahs of the Quran which are from the earlier periods of revelation which were extremely beloved to him, and that is Surah Al-Kahf, Surah Maryam, Surah Taha and Surah Al-Anbiya. In Surah Al-Anbiya, there is one verse which is commonly recited in many of the Bukhari Sharif khatams. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the reckoning on the day of Qiyamah, the accounting, the accountability on the day of Qiyamah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He will place, or we will place, the scales on that day, which will be there to exercise justice. And on that day, nobody will be shortchanged. In fact, anyone who comes with an atom's weight of good, then he will be given the goodness of that. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha reports that a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, that I have two slaves who have called me a liar, who have been disobedient and dishonest with me. So I rebuked them, I shouted them, and I also beat them. What is my condition with regards to them? This retribution that I exercised against them, how will it fare against me? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that if the crime that they committed against you was less than your rebuke, then on the day of Qiyamah, this will be a favor from your side against them. But if your rebuking exceeded the bounds in terms of the amount of the crime that they committed against you, then on the day of Qiyamah, they will take retribution from you. So this person became extremely sad. He went to one corner of the masjid and he started to weep. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to him this very verse, that have you not read this verse? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the scales of justice that will be meted out. And this person then says that I have no other option but to free these slaves in the path of Allah so that they will not take accountability from me on the day of Qiyamah. Ulama mention that this scale on the day of Qiyamah is a reality, and the weighing of the deeds will be a reality. It is mentioned that the scale will be placed against a balance, and the deeds of the person will be weighed against this balance, and an angel will be deputed. And if the weight of the deeds is in excess, then the angel will make an announcement that glad tidings to you, that you have been given the best of this akhirah and you will have eternal bliss. But if the weight of the deeds is below, then the angel will make the announcement that, oh wretched one, you have been completely destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha once asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Nabi of Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, will you remember your family members? Will you be accessible to us? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to her that there are three times on the day of Qiyamah when a person will not be concerned with anybody else but his own condition. The first is when a person is at the scales where his deeds are being weighed, and he is unsure if his deeds are going to allow him to enter into Jannah or if he is going to fall short. At that time, he will not be concerned about anybody else. The second is when the book of deeds are being given to an individual, and he is concerned about whether it will come in his right hand or in his left hand. At that time, he will not be concerned about anybody. And the third is when a person is crossing the bridge of Sirat. At that time, he is not sure whether he will fall or whether he will cross across swiftly, and he will not be concerned about anyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the favors upon various of his anbiya. First, we read about Ibrahim alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from the fire. It is mentioned that in the time of Namrud, that when this fire was created, for a period of 30 days, the people gathered the firewood. And then they put it together, and for a period of 7 days, the fire was fanned until it became so huge that nobody was able to go close to it. So they decided to catapult Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. And as he is being thrown into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the angels to come to him and ask him that, "Oh Ibrahim, do you require any assistance?" And he replies to them that, "Yes, I do need assistance, but I am relying entirely upon my Lord." Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him and asks, "Oh Ibrahim, do you require any assistance?" And he says, "Yes, I do, but not from you. I would like my assistance from Allah." And it is mentioned that when he gets into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "Kulna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim." That, "Oh fire, I have given you the ability to be hot and to burn. And it is my power that allows you to burn. And it is my command that makes you burn. But now my command is that you become cool and peaceful for Ibrahim alayhi salam." And he remained in that fire for approximately 7 days. And he used to recount that those were the most comfortable days of my life. We then read about Dawood alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a melodious voice. And he would recite and hymn the praises of Allah and make the dhikr of Allah and recite the zabur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the birds and the mountains who would also make the dhikr of Allah along with Dawood alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to melt iron so that he could make armor. And then we read about his son Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the winds for him. And he subjugated the jinn who would go and do various tasks for him. And the winds would take him from place to place. Ibn Kathir mentions that Sulaiman alayhi salam had a platform constructed out of wood. A large platform constructed out of wood, which would carry him, his court, his government, his army, their weapons, etc. And he would travel from place to place with the wind as their transport. And it is mentioned that this platform was so large that it could house 600,000 chairs. Imagine, we think today that it's a miracle that you have a Boeing A380 that can travel from one end of the world to the other end of the world, but it can only carry 380 passengers. This had the ability to carry 600,000 chairs. And as they would move, the birds would cover the platform and fly above the platform so that the sun would not affect Sulaiman alayhi salam. And it is mentioned that that platform could do the journey of 2 months in one day. And Sulaiman alayhi salam would keep his head down and he would make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great ni'mah that had been placed upon him. Then we read about Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with 70 years of prosperity, children, wealth, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. All his children were taken away from him. All his wealth was taken away from him. His health was taken away from him. And he suffered from a disease similar to leprosy, wherein he had boils on his body, to such an extent that his family members and his close neighbors and friends, they could no longer bear to be around him. And they put him out on the outskirts of the town near a garbage dump. And the only one that would look after him would be his wife, who it is mentioned was either the daughter or the granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salam. And he bears this with patience. For 7 years, he mentions that Allah gave me 70 years of prosperity and only 7 years of difficulty. I feel shy to ask him. Nevertheless, he makes this dua, Rabbi anni masani ad-dur, that, "Oh Allah, an affliction, a difficulty has come upon me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin, and you are the most merciful." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua and he restores his health and he gives him his children and double that, and he returns his wealth to him. Then we read the story of Yunus alayhi salam, who warned the people of Nineveh of the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to their disobedience, and they did not take heed. So he told them that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was about to come, and he left that place. And after he left, the people became remorseful, and they asked for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And contrary to that which happened with many other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse of the Quran, when the people of Yunus alayhi salam, their iman, they were one of the few people whose iman benefited them. That after they brought iman and they made tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averted the punishment from them. And Yunus alayhi salam could see that the storm was averted, but he felt to himself that now if I go back to my people, they will call me a liar, because I said that the punishment of Allah was coming. And the punishment at that time amongst those tribes was that they would execute the people. So Yunus alayhi salam exercised his own judgment, his own ijtihad, and he did not go back to his people. And it is said that the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him by putting him into the mouth of the fish is not because he left his people in the first place, but rather that he exercised his judgment here, thinking that he should not go back to his people when he should have. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. So he goes onto a boat, and when they get into the ocean, there's a whirlpool that comes through, and they decide that somebody needs to jump off the boat so that the boat will not sink. And they draw lots the first time, the second time, the third time. Yunus alayhi salam, his name comes up. And the boatman recognizes the status of Yunus alayhi salam, and he doesn't want him to jump off. But Yunus alayhi salam realizes this, and he jumps off. And when he jumps off, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a fish, a large fish. It is mentioned that it was in the Caspian Sea, and it swallows him up. And when he is in the darkness of this fish, in the darkness of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that beautiful dua, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who has a desire, a need, and he makes dua with the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, then inshaAllah, it will be accepted. And what is this dua? La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu minaz zalimeen. That there is none worthy of worship. O Allah, you are free from all blemishes. Glory be to you. Inni kuntu minaz zalimeen. That verily, I am from amongst those oppressors. Then we move on to Suratul Hajj, and we will terminate with this. Suratul Hajj is that unique surah, Mufassirin mention, that it has various aspects. Firstly, it is both Makki and Madani. Some of the verses were revealed in Makkah, some in Medina. It is that surah wherein some of the verses were revealed while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on safar, and some of them were revealed while he was at home. And some of the verses were revealed during battle, and some were revealed while he was during peaceful times. And some of the verses are those verses that are nasikh, that abrogate other verses, while other verses are mansukh, those verses that are abrogated. And some of the verses are muhkam, and some of the verses are mutashabih. That means their meanings are hidden. So it is one of those surahs that enjoys the status of having the various different forms of revelation and the different categories of revelation. And we'll terminate on one ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. That, O Ibrahim, after building this house of mine in Makkah, now make the announcement to the people to come for Hajj. Ibrahim alayhi salam says that, O Allah, this is a barren land. How am I going to announce to the whole world? How will they hear me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Ibrahim, you make the announcement. I will make the arrangement for your voice to reach the four corners of the earth. And not only for that particular period, but as we see up to this day, that the announcement of Hajj is going through every year, and people are responding to the announcement of Hajj. So Ibrahim alayhi salam stands upon Jabal Abi Qubais, the Mount of Abu Qubais, and he instructs and he makes the announcement in four different directions. He says that, O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established his house in this place. So come to this house in pilgrimage and fulfill the command of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes this voice to the four corners of the earth. And he also mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when you make this announcement, you will find that people will come from different places on different modes of transport. And we see today the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam thousands of years later, that people are coming by foot, people are coming by car, people are coming by rail, people are coming by sea, people are coming by air. And when you are there for Hajj, you see people from every different walk of life. People say that when you go to London or you go to New York, it's a cosmopolitan place. But the real cosmopolitan place where there are cultures from all over the world, all different walks of life, we find at the time of Hajj. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one of the benefits of Hajj, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that they may witness the blessings from their Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they may witness the blessings. And the ulama mentioned that one is the spiritual blessings that we get from performing Hajj. But in addition to that is the material blessings that we experience when we perform Hajj. Mufti Shafi Saab writes that people will save up for their whole lives, pennies upon pennies, rands upon rands. And we know today how expensive it is for a person to go for Hajj. And that person accumulates all this wealth and he goes for Hajj. But you will not find that a person spends this money correctly with the right intention and he performs Hajj correctly and that he comes back and he gets bankrupt. Never will you find a person spending his wealth on Hajj and Umrah and coming back and becoming bankrupt. This is the specialty. In fact, we find that a person accumulates all of this wealth. And yes, he could use this 100,000-200,000 rands, perhaps on a business venture, perhaps on his down payment for his house, perhaps for a car, etc. But he uses it for Hajj. And when he comes back, we find in a short space of time, Allah Ta'ala returns that wealth to him. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with children. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with houses and cars, etc. And his wealth increases. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us all the opportunity to perform Hajj over and over again. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.